Nathan, how's the chocolate addiction going?
It's going good, thank you. I'm devouring lots of chocolate in ridiculous volumes.
Any particular brands?
I've
Favorites?
well, Dairy Milk is my favorite, but I've recently discovered Tony's Chocolonely. Is that what it's called? Anyway, yeah, and it's just amazing. Slightly more expensive, and unfortunately, I'm such a chocoholic, I can devour a full bar in one sitting. So maybe not a financially viable option, but it's good stuff.
And what about when you're doing your family history? Then do you find that you need to have like sustenance, like chocolate, or are you so busy just concentrating you don't?
It probably actually stops me. I think generally in daily life, I think it's rare to find me without a chocolate bar in my hand. But yeah, when I'm doing the family history, I don't really think about anything else. I'm lost.
Amazing. Amazing. Anyway, better introduce ourselves. So my name's Ellen Tovey. I'm editor of Family Tree, and with me is
It's Nathan Ward. Hello there.
And his other name is the running genealogist. So he needs to do all that running because of all the chocolate he eats.
It's for sustenance. It's not because I'm a, oh, no, I am. I'm a chocolate addict, but it's my excuse is that I need it for my energy for running. Yes.
I would like to say I'm not a chocolate addict, but I do have chocolate every day. But I don't know. I just view it as being under control, even though it's daily. But who knows? That's for someone
Yeah.
else to decide, not me.
It's dangerous, isn't it? Like a lot of people I know like Haribos and stuff, and I will eat one. But I don't crave it. I definitely crave chocolate. There's a difference. There's a massive difference in my mind as to, like someone goes, "Oh, do you want a Haribo?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Someone says, "Do you want some chocolate?" And I'm like, "Definitely." It's a different feeling.
Interesting. So, back to your family history, you briefly mentioned the other day you've been making some good strides. Is that correct, or did I hear wrong?
That's correct, but I'd rather talk about chocolate than family history.
Oh, well, I mean, that would be interesting. I don't know anything about it, but it would have been really interesting if we did know all about the history of Easter eggs and stuff like that.
It would. Yeah, no, my family history is going well. I feel naughty because we talked about doing like a cycle where I swap what I'm doing from week to week, so I'm not getting just rabbit holes. I've stayed in the rabbit hole. I'm quite enjoying it. I've built myself a little burrow. Yeah.
Don't feel naughty. Goodness, I don't do that cycling thing. I do rabbit holes. That's my speciality.
I just want the satisfaction of like, as again, I keep saying, like the completionist sort of theory. I want to progress those layers, but I am quite enjoying my George Horatio Nelson stuff. It's the whole obviously Tank Man story. That was all very interesting and tied to him. And now, like the thing I've been researching this last week has been he had a daughter that died young, so I wanted to find out about her and see if I could dig up things on that, which I've done a little bit. I've hit quite a lot of brick walls, which I don't know whether it's actually because I have legitimately hit a brick wall or if I'm missing things in regular research that I've, like I've forgotten. Like I was struggling to find marriage certificates and death certificates that I feel previously when I was researching people, they just popped up. Like the ones where it shows you the father's names. I was looking for marriage certificates like that, and nothing was appearing on Ancestry. And I was like, "Am I doing something wrong? Am I missing out a vital stage?" So, I've got a few little things that I'm stuck on, which I've been writing on my research log. You'll be happy to know. So,
Excellent, very good.
I won't forget what they are.
So with that's a really good question that knowing and trying to weigh up, have you really hit a brick wall or not? And so what is a brick wall? It's just something, it's a kind of term we use, a catch-all term for when we've got stuck. And there could be any number of reasons why we've got stuck. It could be we just don't have the knowledge to know where to look. It could be that we haven't really got our heads around what we're looking at and what the gaps are in it. So, previously when you've been searching, for instance, on Ancestry and you found digitized marriage registers. So you found those lovely copies of the register. You can view the beautiful old handwriting. You can view all the full details. You've got the dad's names. You've got the dad's occupations. Bingo. Now you're searching for these new people and you're hoping to find those same sort of records and they're not coming up. And it could simply be that Ancestry have got the records for some areas or some date spans and not for other areas and not for other date spans. So it could have it for most of your area, but just not all the years. So straight away when you're searching, you're not going to find your people. So it's not really, it feels like a brick wall because you haven't got the information you need to keep on building out your tree. But what it is, it's that's why you need your research log, and that's why you need to, you know, I always bang on about search the catalog collection, know which collections you're searching. Because if you just do a global search and no names come back, you're going to have no clue why no names are coming back for your person. It's just like a big long, it's a big blank empty space of like, sorry, no search results, and you're just like left dumbfounded. Whereas if you know what you searched, then you can go, aha, well, the reason why I'm not getting back is because I've looked in the catalog collection and the date span doesn't cover my period, or the my place isn't covered, or whatever it is. So you kind of, you've understood what you've searched for.
Yeah, I think that's quite an interesting thing, where a lot of the stuff I have initially done has come to me straight away. So I've searched for so-and-so Marion, and boom, it's there. Everybody's just naturally come like within the first three or four hits on a search.
Brilliant.
So this is the first time where I've been doing it and like I'm not getting the results straight away. I knew it was going to come at some point, but I was expecting that to be sort of more deeper in the past as opposed to a side shoot, which is what I'm on at the moment. But on this particular search, there was this girl who I couldn't find her death record. And then I was looking for more about George Horatio Nelson, because I think, I've previously mentioned he married twice. I can't find any details of the marriage. So I'm struggling to find the maiden name of the second wife. And also I can't find her death, but equally, well, I can't find her death. And obviously her death, she was a Nelson at that point. She had George Horatio's surname. And so it was just like three hits straight away that were just like, well, they're not appearing for me. What do? Am I doing something wrong? Why did it appear before for other people and not these guys? So I was a little panicked I was doing something wrong.
So I'm pleased to hear you've been filling in on your research log, because then you know what you have tried. So at least next time when you have another research session, you won't be trying exactly the same thing again. You can go, well, I've tried this, it didn't work. So now I'm going to try that.
Yeah. And within that, I've found a few discrepancies as well that I want to ask you about, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, I'm obsessed with George Horatio Nelson because he's got an awesome name.
Hmm.
I found on a census that he was born in Sheffield.
Hmm.
I think that was like the 1921 census. So, at the end, it says birthplace, Sheffield. But then, there's another one that says he was born in Ecclesall.
Hmm.
And the two, 100% the same person, but the details are completely different. So his birth is in Sheffield, and then another one says it's Ecclesall. I'm inclined to think it's the Ecclesall one, because that's the local area, which is...
That's just part of Sheffield, isn't it?
No, it's part of Pudsey.
Oh, but I think in Sheffield, isn't there Ecclesall Road?
Oh.
So he could live in...
That could just be like one of those happy accidents then, where two places are named the same, but it's completely different.
Yes. Okay. So what you need to do is, first of all, just double check there aren't two George Horatio Nelsons of a similar age knocking around in Yorkshire, in where are we, the late 1800s. So you go on that free BMD website, search on the name, search for the birth year, give all, take 5 years and see who else comes up. And if you find there's a massive fad that all of the parents are calling there's a big Nelson clan and there's loads of them, then you're going to know, you're going to have your wits about you. But hopefully you will find there aren't that many. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's one option. And then the other thing, which is, I think it's always really interesting to consider, is when it's a census, what is the relationship of your person to the rest of the household? So if they're there, mum, dad, they're the three kids, and George Horatio Nelson is one of the kids, you know, it's a good chance the parents are going to get their own kids' details correct. But on another instance, let's say George Horatio Nelson is a lodger in a different house, then there's every possibility that the family he's living with are going to get it a bit wrong, and he's out on a shift that night when they're filling in the census form, and they go, I'm sure he comes from Sheffield, Ecclesall, whatever, and they just do it to the best of their knowledge, and they go, it's only a paper form, who cares, let's get this job done and send it off. And they don't realise that 100, 120, 140 years later, it's going to cause someone else hours of work to put this straight.
Yeah. I think another thing is, I saw him on I don't know how I got there. Again, I was just milling about on Ancestry, and I got onto somebody else's family tree that had George Horatio Nelson, and they'd gone for the Eccles Hill in my area as the birthplace. And I've gone for Sheffield on mine, but they've definitely gone for Eccles Hill, Appleby Bridge sort of area. So then it had me questioning, like, am I right, or are they right, or are we both wrong?
And so then there's another thing which is always worth trying, and particularly if you've got ancestors in England or Wales, is that Family Search mapping website. And so if you Googled the words map, Family Search, and 1851, then it will come up pretty near the top of the list. And on there, you can search by a place name, and it will come up with all the different Eccles Hills there are all around the country. And so then you can go, oh my word, I had no idea that there were that many. And also it might be feel a bit overwhelming to find out there are several places by a name. It's much better to know that you've got that possibility of getting in a muddle with a different place rather than blindly think there is only one place by one name.
Yes.
You're feeling weaker and weaker and more like this is a task with diminishing likelihood of getting solved.
Yeah, because I feel like I've done some good research, and now I've just brought up the 1901 census, and that's giving me even more information that looks wrong to me, and I'm like, oh my god.
So do you know what? If it's starting to feel wrong, then what I would do is go back to the last place where you felt. Imagine you're a detective, and you're following a line of inquiry, and so now it's getting confusing for whatever reason. So you're going to go back to the last time in your search where you felt confident. Yeah,
okay, that's when I took my DNA test.
And then you're going to start building out again. Yeah, and what, even in the few weeks and months you've been doing family history, you'll be so much more knowledgeable and experienced, and you're aware of pitfalls that can happen and aware of possibilities that can help you.
Yes.
I've given you a checklist of things you need to do. You need to find out, are there any other George Horatio Nelsons you're getting in a muddle with? You're going to find out, just to be sure, while we've established there are two Eccles Halls, you're going to make sure whether there are any more, so you can look on that Family Search mapping website. I mean, the guy who's Eccles Hall in one place and Sheffield in another, he feels to me as though he could very much be the same person as himself. And he's just been more precise about the location in one record than the other. Whereas your Pudsey one might be a different person entirely, or it might be your Pudsey one actually wasn't Pudsey after all, he was in Sheffield.
Yes. I mean, it gets worse. Like,
tell me.
I'm looking now. So the 1901 census for George Horatio Nelson, I've got him. It's him, his wife, Margaret, his children, Edward and Ida, and... is that another George? Which matches up with what I've got. And that's saying, this is the 1901, saying he was born in Derbyshire. Yeah, Bakewell, Derbyshire, it's saying. But then later on in this very same document, it says the civil parish is Eccles Hill. And then the registration district is North Byerley. Mm-hmm. I did some research on this. I felt quite proud of myself. Mm-hmm. The North Byerley doesn't exist anymore. We've got an East Byerley in our area, but North Byerley used to be made up of, again, I quite enjoyed this. The first three places it said it was made up of was Carvely, Driglington and Cleckheaton, which all three places have like massive significance to me at the moment. It's quite amusing. That's like, oh, I know all those places and I go to those places all the time. And a bunch of other places anyway. So I established that was like some sub-district of Yorkshire. I don't know why I said Yorkshire like that. So that rings true. It's right. It's the right area.
Yes. Yeah.
But then, yeah. So it says he's born in Bakewell, Derbyshire. So flicking forward in time to the 1911 census, it says he was born in Sheffield.
Mm.
Same guys. 10 years later, it's the same people on the list. So again, I feel like everything's matching up. I've got Edward. I've got George. I've got Alan now. It feels right. Everything's following. He has aged 10 years. He has the same children.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I mean, I might be getting just caught up in little silly details, but because, like, I never actually intended to have a birth location as part of my growth of the tree. I don't know why, but, you know, like, the core information I was going for. But now I've included it. It's just, obviously, it's another clue, isn't it, to make me clarify whether it is the right person. But these are all reading as the right person.
So I just went to FreeBMD while you're talking, because I thought, we've got to get to the bottom of this. How many George Horatio Nelsons are there? So I just went to freebmd.org.uk, put in first name George Horatio, and for you, you're really lucky, because sometimes some of our ancestors do this and sometimes they don't. They include their middle name. And so it's fantastic that he seems to so consistently use his middle name. And so I searched on that, put in his surname Nelson, no other details, no years, just searched on births. And 8 or so people came up. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 8 people came up. But looking at the places where they were born and the date span, so those 8 people between 1854 and 1903 were born in England and Wales. So that's not very many. It's kind of 1 every 5 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the places where they were born were Banbury, Newington, Hull, Cambridge, Ecclesall, Barnet, Islington and Plymouth. So there's only 2 Yorkshire places, Ecclesall and Hull. And the Hull one is born 1861.
Right.
And the Ecclesall one is 1869. So we kind of hope that... Is that your guy, 1869?
Yes. Yeah. And this is another thing. His date of birth, there's a little inconsistency with that. So one of the records said 1867.
Yeah.
But the birth wasn't actually registered till 1869.
Ooh. So I think you're pretty good to go with your the one you've got, the 1860. I don't think you're going to be getting in a muddle with anybody else. I think for whatever reason, the birthplace is throwing you a bit. So the other thing you can do is just keep a record of all of these places and don't pin your hopes on any particular one yet. And you're, over time, you'll get a feel for which one keeps being the place which keeps coming up most consistently as his birth.
Yeah.
You can always say as well, if it's a more precise location, then that's more likely to be accurate. So, you know, if you're saying a village, that probably would be the village. Whereas if you're saying the town, like I might say I come from Peterborough, I might come from Grantham, but even though I've never actually lived in Peterborough or Grantham, it's just because if I say a village name, everyone will go, I don't know where that is. And so you just say the nearest big town. So that's something which our ancestors do in the records as well.
Right.
And so keep this list and that will help you fine tune. And as long as the other details are all checking out, which it sounds as though they are, then you can feel pretty confident you are proceeding along the right path and you know, you're not doing anything wrong, but you just need to, I would keep gathering all the information and then out of the more information you have, imagine you've got 2 pieces of information, one of those, and they differ from each other, one's right and one's wrong, and you don't know which one it is. Whereas when you've got 20 pieces of information, at that point, you've got more granular level, haven't you? And you could have go out of those 20 pieces of information about his birth, 17 of them say this or give me a clue that it's this, and they might not say exactly the same word, but they tally with each other. They don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess as well as when I research his parents, I'll probably find out more, won't I? If Sheffield comes up again in the parents, like where they lived, then it answers that question.
Definitely. And this, his siblings as well will help. If he's got older and younger siblings and they're all...
Don't want to look at siblings.
And they're all getting born in Sheffield, then that will help you know, yeah, the family's just in Sheffield.
Yeah. I don't need any more rabbit holes.
No, they're not rabbit holes. So who's George Horatio? Is he your great-great-grandfather? I've forgotten again what he is.
He is my second great-grandfather.
Excellent. So you do want his siblings, because if he's your great-great-grandfather... The descendants of his siblings alive today are your third cousins. So there's a very good chance if any of those third cousins have matched, they'll turn up in your DNA list. I think there's a 90% chance. So there's a very small number of third cousins you won't match with. But the vast majority of your third cousins you'll share a tiny bit of DNA with and they'll be in your match list. So if you found these siblings for George Horatio, found the siblings' children and the siblings' children and the siblings' children going down forward in time, they're your DNA matches.
Right.
I've said that before.
Yes, I'm terrified about it, but yeah, we'll get there.
Yes, it's fun. So the siblings are worth it.
Yes. And sorry, let me pick your brains a little more whilst we're here. In the 1921 census, it estimates George Horatio's birth as 1867.
Yes.
And I had 1869 in my head as well, which is what you've confirmed before. But that was the, it was the christening, or baptism, sorry, was 1869. Now, they wouldn't have let it 2 years, would they?
No. So if you left it to register the birth, then you would get a fine. So I think you're only allowed roughly about 6 weeks, and then you get a fine if you haven't registered. Right. And I think that, I don't know when that rule came in, but I'm pretty sure it's been in for ages. So enough time that it would qualify for his birth. We can find out that for sure, though, or somebody could let us know. So, but that's only one other record. So we've got the primary record. So we've only got the index details on FreeBMD saying that he was born in 1869. Mm-hmm. So that's a record made very likely within close approximation to his date. It's going to be accurate. You did sometimes get parents whose baby was registered after the 6 weeks, and then they just fudged the details. And instead of saying, let's say the baby was born on the 1st of February, they got the 6 weeks of elapsed, and you go, yes, the baby was born on the 28th of February, and because they're just going to fudge it by a few weeks so they didn't get the fine. But it's going to be within a few weeks, it's going to be accurate on the whole. Where this 1921 forecast backwards, which gives you a predicted date of 1867, is far more likely to be wrong, because that's a date made, it's a date recorded decades after the event of his life. And for whatever reason, on that 1921, does it say who filled in the census form? Is it him?
Let me look. I think it might be, because he's got quite a nice signature from what I remember.
Yeah. And so he could have got his own name, his own age wrong, which has given a predicted wrong birth year.
He said he's 54 on the 1921 census. Let me just look 10 years earlier.
So he's not going to be 54, is he?
Well, he was 41, allegedly, on the 1911 census.
He's just got in a muddle how old he is. It happens. He's probably got a little bit of early onset forgetfulness. He's just forgotten how old he is, because he's just accidentally tacked on 2 years to his age.
Right, so we're definitely going for 1869. That's cool.
Yeah, because on FreeBMD there wasn't another option. And if his previous census, that age tallies, doesn't it? It's just this one record. So that's the advantage. Remember when I said, like, gather all his birth, all the every record where it mentions his birthplace, put it down. You're gradually, a clarity will emerge about which is the correct piece of information or the most likely to be factually accurate. And it's the same with the dates as well. Keep gathering the predicted age, predicted year of birth, and you'll be able to see what the anomalies are and what the correct thing is. So he's just accidentally forgotten how old he is, or he's, I don't know what he's done. I mean, it can happen. Yes.
I've added a few years.
It's possible to forget how old you are.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, he's had a rough life. He might just be totally in a fudge and just wanted to forget everything. Yeah, it's good. I can see how it all matches up, which is cool. Like, from the 1901 to 1911 to the 1921. It's detective work, isn't it?
So many other things you can do with it. So now you've got these places, you've got these addresses, partly as the running genealogist, so they're not so far away from you. You can start going to actually see them. You can look at them on maps, plot them on maps.
Yeah, well, on that 1921 census, they lived in a house that is probably about four streets away from where I'm sat right now. So
Brilliant. That's fantastic.
I'm going to have to go visit that and find out.
You are.
Then I'll be really upset when it's like a really massive house. I'm like, what?
So, and that's the other thing. When you see a massive house, because I've had this in my family, so you see you get the address on the census, and then you go and look it up on the maps, and then you go and look it up on Google Street View, because I don't live anywhere near any of my family, so it's very hard to go and see their places, and you see this massive house and you're like, oh, so what went wrong in the meantime? Why haven't I got the money? And then you go back to the census. You can't do it so easily with the 1921 or the 1911 for England and Wales, but for the earlier ones, you can see their neighbours. So if you look closely at the census, you'll be able to see, oh, it was a massive house, but there are 30 people living in it, and they're all living in it.
Right.
Yeah. And so the houses looked like, sometimes they were purpose built, particularly in Scotland, I found a lot. They looked like a massive house and they're purpose built as flats, even, you know, back in the day, in the Victorian times. So,
right.
But, or they might just have had a massive house and be wealthy. Who knows?
That's who knows?
Out. Yeah.
You're making me want to go read some Dickens now.
Yes. Yes.
I'm getting that sort of vibe.
Yeah, and I love it. I really enjoy finding it when they do have, they call it multiple occupancy, when you do find a home and it's got lots of families in it, because I just love the feeling of, I found one of my ancestors, and I think they had a nice big house. There was, I think, six families living in there, 30-odd people. I think there were 14 children under 10 or 11. I mean, can you imagine how noisy that would be?
Yeah, sounds
like having a mini school in the house. So it just gives you a flavour for your family. It's really fun.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. I am slowly gathering loads and loads of locations, so I will be plotting a proper route to like do a run and maybe sneaky photograph.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be nice. I feel like I'm hijacking this. I thought we were going to talk about your homework, but I've got so many questions.
Oh, keep going with the questions. I love it. I just love talking about it. Just go for it.
So, my favourite relative, George Horatio Nelson, obviously, I've said before, his wife died, and then he also had this daughter that died. But I managed to find a little bit about, I think previously I mentioned I hadn't found a death certificate. I didn't know how old his child was when she died, or if in fact maybe she moved away or something like that. So I found her on the death and burials list. Wait a minute, let me just check my notes. For 1813 to 1985, which is a massive list. Anyway, so she died in 1909 at the age of 10, but I don't have a death certificate for her. I don't even have a birth certificate for her. And I don't have the concrete dates. I've just got the rough dates. And obviously, I want the proper dates. So I need to find them out. But I'm also intrigued as to finding out how she actually died. Is that something that's possible?
Mm-hmm. So you definitely should get those birth and death certificates. And so you can order them off that GRO website. And it will cost you a couple of pounds to get a JPEG version, and because they're old historic records, they'll be outside the time frame, so you'll be able to get them, and they'll be able to get them turned around to you pretty quickly. And so the birth records, just to give a, you just want that to have a precise birthday for her. And the death record obviously will say her date of death, and it'll say the cause of death on it.
Right.
And then if it's an illness, then you may be able to search in local newspapers, and if there's a memorial notice for her, it may give further details why she died. If it was an accident or something horrible, then it might be in the newspaper. So again, back to the local newspapers to have a look at them and see what they can do. And then I'd also, depending what she died of, it's worth, if it is something contagious, it's worth looking up that in the local newspaper as well, because, you know, there's something going around and it's affecting their community. Like, I can't think of anything for 1910, but if it was 1918, you'd be thinking Spanish flu. If it was the middle of the 1800s, you'd be thinking cholera outbreaks. And all these sorts of things would be mentioned in the newspaper. They'd say how many people had died of these major epidemic things. So that's just useful to put your ancestors' demise and cause of death in context, if it has got a relevance to something else.
Yeah.
The time when she dies and what she dies of, that gives you a flavour.
Yeah. Well, her mother died as well, like about a year later as well. So I wondered if it was something related that they were both ill or whatever. Which her mother died at the age of 40. So in my head, that's obviously not that old. But back then, would that be deemed old?
No, that still would be deemed sadly young. But yes. Even if you're taking account of, you know, the terrible life expectancies in Victorian England. It's still too young to die. You're still going to have dependents, children. She may even, at 40, she could even have still died something to do with, you know, childbirth related. She could have very young children in her life. So it's still a tragedy. And, you know, with no welfare state, and definitely one and possibly two members of the adult members and some of the children having to work just to keep the show on the road, is a financial tragedy as well as an emotional tragedy. So yes, it would be seen as sad and tragic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So I've got some digging to do there.
Yes.
And my next question, I'm full of them today. I want to find this second marriage. And I only know this woman's name because she was on Tankman's, I've forgotten the word for it now, his basic, his war pension will thing.
Yeah. Was she the next of kin?
She wasn't his mum, but he left the pension to her.
Ah, yes, I remember now. Yeah.
And then she died and it's been crossed out, and George Horatio Nelson then is the one to receive this pension ledger thing. So I don't know. I've literally just got the words written.
So the only concrete detail you've got for her is her first name, because the first time you see her is with her married surname. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
Yes. So back to the freebmd.org.uk website. You can search for George Horatio Nelson and just her first name. Presumably you've done that.
I have not.
Okay, so what you need to do, just what I said, go to freebmd.org.uk, George Horatio Nelson in one person's thing, spouse, just put in her first name, and then you know the date that the first wife died. Not to be naive, then theoretically the second wife should be getting married to the husband after the first wife died.
Yeah.
Shouldn't she? So you've got a kind of starting point for your search, and then hopefully they'll turn up. And you can narrow it by location a bit. You could narrow it by county. Just play around with the search and see what possibilities turn up.
I've totally forgotten about this website, if I'm honest.
It's so good. It's such a good website.
I'm actually doing this as we speak.
Go for it. I'm intrigued. I'm such a nosy control freak. I might have a search as well while you have a search. I'm one of those people who there's a baby crying or this or something. I'm like, I'll do it. I'll have a go. What is her first name then?
Teresa.
Okay. And how did she spell it? It might change anyway. Was it an H?
Yeah, T-H-E-R. Well, I'm not getting anything.
Well, I didn't. When I tried George Horatio, I didn't get anyone. And then, I thought, right, I'm going to take out the Horatio. And So I've got quite a few, but then scrolling down the list, they're not very good location-wise.
Right. Yeah. Well, she died before the end of the war. To have been crossed out from this pension ledger. Maggie died, I think it was 1910.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere, her half-brother was born 1913. So somewhere between 1910 and 1913, I think the marriage must have taken place. But like you said, we've got...
So on that half-brother, have you got that half-brother's birth certificate?
No, he's a mystery. I can't find anything about this guy. Eric Nelson, I can't find anything on him.
See, that's because that will have her maiden name on it then, wouldn't it?
Right. So I can look for that on this, can I?
Yes, you can look for Eric Nelson.
Do you know what? I'm getting vague memories of this one that says King's N.
Mm.
I feel like I've seen that appear. I feel like he married her in a weird... I don't know why. I've got an inkling that he's married her in a weird location and then come back to Yorkshire. There must have been some record I've naughtily not put on my research log that makes me think that. Right, let's do a new search then. So I'm looking for Eric Nelson birth. I need to limit this down. So what would be your recommendation? So
you're limiting it down. You could limit it down to a county. otherwise you can narrow it down by date span. Another thing you can do, so you know Eric was born in 1913, so you can just search for Eric Nelson's born from 1913, have a look where they turn up, and they've got the mother's maiden name mentioned in the index results. So then what would be really interesting is to, so let's do it, we'll search for birth, Nelson surname, first name Eric, born anytime from 1913 onwards, press find. So there are two Eric Nelsons born in England and Wales in 1913. One's got a maiden name of Leary, the other's got a maiden name of Cowles. So then what I'd do, I'd go...
Cowles, that has come up.
Excellent. So then I'd go back to the birth indexes, and then I would be searching for Teresa Cowles, because those are those mothers. So potentially, if you get a Teresa Cowell, born 20, 30, 40 years before baby Eric in 1913, you're like, okay, I'm feeling like this is getting warm. Yeah.
Yeah. This is all good.
Well, this is why you need to write down what you're doing, because it's following a train of thought, isn't it? And it's trying to think, I've said it so many times, like when you're getting a birth record, it's not just giving you information about that baby's birth. This baby's birth record, even though we're just looking at the index, we haven't even paid any money, we haven't got the birth index, it's still giving you clues potentially about the mother, which you can then search with the information you do have about the mother, which so far is just her maiden name, or just her first name, Teresa. And then you can gradually see if you can get the jigsaw puzzle pieces to fit.
It's, yeah, and it's quite funny because I think I've been quite good with my research log. And then you're saying things and words are coming up and names and dates that I'm aware of. And I know I've not written them down in my research log. So it's not as detailed as it should be. I need to be a bit more meticulous. Because I'd heard the name Cowles before. That had cropped up. And like I said about this inkling of them marrying somewhere else.
Yes.
I don't know where that's come from. But there must be records that back up that theory, which I've just researched her marriage, and Teresa A. Cowles has come up, and she was the one who got married in 1911 in King's somewhere or other.
To George Horatio Nelson.
Got married in King's Norton.
To who?
George Horatio.
Excellent. So this is really promising, isn't it?
Really promising, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So for the minute, then, I love giving you your homework, is I would say just explore the free BMD index and write a wish list of all of the birth, marriage or death certificates that you want to order. Some of them, if Ancestry, for instance, or any other website like Find My Past, Family Search, if they've digitised the parish registers, then you may find that for the marriages and births particularly, they could be really helpful, and you could get there for this period because they're going to have very, very similar information. You could look on there and not have to have the delay and not have to even spend your £2.50, but some of them you're going to have to go to the GRO website, spend your £2.50 on your wish list, and then you can find out about little Maggie, her birth date and her death. You can find baby Eric's birth.
Yeah.
Find Mother Teresa marrying George in 1911. You can find Teresa Cowles. Look for her in the free BMDs and find her birth. And so the index details are so good. You say, let's say you find Teresa Cowles. Let's say you find there's a few, and by location you go, this is going to be my Teresa, because one's born in Cornwall and one's born in Kent and one's born in Yorkshire. And you go, I'm putting my money on mine being the Yorkshire one.
Yeah.
Spend your £2.50, and then you're going to have Teresa's, definitely her mother's name, and hopefully her father's name as well on her birth certificate.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of progress, so that's great.
It's a lot of progress, isn't it?
Cool, that's good. I feel like I actually have some...
Yes, and with the scattergun and kind of going around a circle things, like, so just sticking with going, right, I'm just going to concentrate on free BMD and think what clues can I get from this single free website, and not go anywhere else just for the minute, and just write a list of what you're looking for, write a list for what you find, and just write it all down and copy it in the search results where it has a volume number and a page number. Don't think, yada yada, boring details, because those are the precise details you need if you do want to go and order a certificate. They'll ask you for that volume number and that page number.
I was writing that down in my research log, so I didn't know why I was doing it, but yes. They were important. So when I was doing Ida and when I was looking for a more support George Horatio, I've got like the marriage and which marriage is that? I've got his birth and I've got a marriage and I've written down like the 9D330.
Excellent.
So I've made a note of them, but I didn't know why I was doing it.
Yes.
And that's what I was missing. So I need to then go to the GOV website.
Yes.
Cool. So that's going to give me some good progress if I pull my finger out. That's cool.
Yes.
Also, it's obviously a giant rabbit hole, which isn't the direct path that I'm meant to be following, but that's fine.
Yes. And I would be tempted to add on one more little rabbit hole to if I was you. So you said about the first wife dying when she was just aged 40. And I would definitely be looking for a baby's birth sometime, obviously before she died. And then potentially, if the mother's really ill, potentially looking for a baby's death as well, just for curiosity, like,
right,
just you never know, and just sometimes you just build up that bigger, better picture.
Yeah, I mean, that, yeah,
but that's obviously a major cause why relatively young women die is childbirth and post-childbirth related problems.
Yeah, and obviously, if a child died at birth, it wouldn't be appearing on any of these censuses because obviously it didn't have time to appear, so.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And she did die a year and a couple of months after this Ida died.
Mm.
I wonder if they were trying for another one at that point.
And also, because you're talking about the age before contraception, even if they weren't trying to have one, they just were most people.
Oh, yeah. You were saying this before, weren't you? Like every 2 years, they're churning them out.
Yes, So, but that's just really interesting for giving you a flavour of the family, like how many people are actually living in this home. And you know, you've already said you feel like it's a really sad chapter in George Horatio's life, but it could be yet even sadder than what you thought if a baby's died as well. You're not trying to look for the saddest story ever, but you are trying to look for what his life was like, and so you're trying to get the full picture.
Sure. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Another cheerful conversation about family history.
Poor guy. It's good. Like everything you've said makes me feel like it's progress. But then in my head, I'm seeing the family tree map and it actually isn't going back any further because I'm just on this static line that's going across. But I am fleshing out characters, aren't I? So that's
you're fleshing out characters and you're getting information on your tree, which some of your DNA matches. You're building your tree, you're adding these people to ancestry. You're not even looking at your DNA results at the moment. Meanwhile, some of your DNA matches will be looking at their DNA match list and they'll see this guy, Nathan, and he's got this little tree. Oh, his little tree's actually growing. And then you may be turning up in some of their DNA hints so that because of the information you're putting on your tree, that's matching up with the information on their tree, and the ancestry algorithm will be suggesting, hey, you and Nathan may be potentially related this way, or you, Nathan's also got these names in his family tree, the same names that you've got in your family tree. So you'll be helping potentially some of your DNA matches, and when you go back to your DNA matches, you will hopefully find this makes more sense. It's not just a random list of people you've never heard of.
Yeah.
There might even be somebody called Cowles, or there might be called, you know, that sort of thing. Obviously, you can't rely on a matching surname, meaning they're related via that line. But you know, when you go back and look at your match list, you can just go and like filter by surname. So the surnames you found, like Nelson and stuff, you could just go and pop Nelson into your DNA match list and say, who are there any other Nelson connections here, and to see and go, oh, that's interesting, and have a look at their trees and see if you recognize anyone.
That's all great.
But it's not a waste of time, all this sideways building and that second great grandparent level. It's really useful information for your DNA.
Cool. I'm just terrified though, because obviously there's so many other second great grandparents as well. It's like, am I going to be as involved in their lives as this particular strand that I'm fascinated by, or will I just be like facts, figures, numbers, next one?
No, I definitely have a bit of favorite branches, yeah, but and individual favorite ancestors, but I think you'll still get into all of them.
I said before, didn't I? Like, initially, I wanted to follow that Scottish ancestor, or the one with the Scottish surname at least. I've not even touched her. I've not even shown any interest. I've gone off on this mother line, and it's, yeah, it's got me.
A reader question came in the other week, and this guy wanted to find out what happened to his great aunt. And I just love it when I get questions like this, because that's precisely, these are these side branches, and this great aunt hadn't had any children of her own. So she's precisely the sort of person who gets lost to time unless somebody actively wants to add these sideways branches to their tree. So I always feel really, I feel really relieved that she's not going to get forgotten in the kind of sweep of history as it kind of goes along and someone is adding her into their tree. And you know, he couldn't find out stuff about her. So there's this amazing researcher who works on the family tree, and he just writes a fantastic article. He does loads of stuff. He's been doing family history for decades. He's called David Annell, and he has taken on this question. And it's exciting because so he's gone down rabbit holes for this reader who's trying to find out about his missing great aunt to kind of fill in the details of her life. And he's found a connection to the Lusitania, which we've got an article about in the, I think it's the April issue of Family Tree. So that amazing ship which got sunk by a German torpedo in the First World War. So that's, talk about, that's a rabbit hole. That's, so it's not even the, it's the great aunt's big or little brother managed to survive the sinking of the Lusitania. So that's definitely a rabbit hole, isn't it? That's kind
of... That's brilliant though.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
You can tie it to like major history. That's awesome. And like, I really like the way that you were saying about that woman not getting forgotten because somebody's remembered her on a tree. It's a nice way to look at it, isn't it?
And it's the same with you with Tank Man. You know, you restored him to being remembered, which I find so poignant.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Part of me feels so we're all slightly eccentric, just gathering these people's stories and their names and their little details. And it's so few details you actually, even if you do masses of family history, it's just a few scant details about somebody's life, isn't it? You know, it's a little tiny fact file of a few jobs they did and a few places they lived. And it's nothing really about their life. You don't know what their favourite food was. You don't know what pub they went to. There's loads of stuff you just haven't got a clue about. But it feels, it's almost like you can live a parallel life. And like you keep saying, oh, I keep meaning to get on and do this. And I'm the same. I keep meaning to get on and do something. Meanwhile, another rabbit hole absorbs you and you're just, it's almost like you're in this weird storyscape or.
Yeah.
It's strange, isn't it?
And it's hard to find that full stop, isn't it, as well? Like, I mean, maybe you shouldn't look for a full stop, but I thought me finding out about the Tank Man, I should stop calling him Tank Man. I thought that would end that, but it's obviously the side shoots are now all his brothers and his sisters and obviously his dad, and it's, I'm absorbing all elements of it, and it's the details of the daughter who died, want more information about her, and then the two mothers, or two wives, should I say. You want to know it all, don't you? And you want to then place them in the context of where did they fit with George in his life, and it's so absorbing, it's terrifying.
It is really absorbing, isn't it? Yeah. And I don't think it matters at all. And I definitely don't think we need a full stop. And maybe it's just how humans are. Like, we love trying to work things out and we love trying to piece together stories. And that's why we like reading novels, watching films. And then family history is another really kind of personalised version of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
We love solving puzzles. It does all of these things.
Yeah, I think for me, my worry is I'll never get off this line. I will literally just be sat in here finding out more and more details and getting more and more absorbed to the point where I'm actually not doing anything practical. Because I can see me doing that actually quite easily. Like you said the other week, I should like park it 1 week and then say, right, go on a fact hunt for everybody else. But
you know what though, Nathan? So I did give you that bossy list that you need to rotate your jobs, blah, blah, blah. And then when you related it back to me at the start of this, I was like, ooh, that just sounds so sterile and so dreadful. And there's no way I would ever do that myself. And I much prefer to have a romantic absorption and just go down a rabbit hole, a romantic rabbit hole. Who cares? Like, you're not, it's not sloppy research. If you're a professional researcher and someone was paying you to find out about all branches of your family tree and you were obsessively concentrating on extra side branches and not budging off there and your poor client, you're using up all their money, then that would be one thing. And you wouldn't be following the brief they wanted. Whereas it's incidental. So you do what you want with it.
I know. I guess that's the thing, isn't it? It doesn't matter. I'm actually enjoying myself finding out about these people. So regardless of whether I'm making progress, I don't have an end goal, really. I don't have a time scale. I don't have, you know, this can go on forever, can't it? So as long as I'm sat on whatever evening I'm doing my research, I'm absorbed and I'm enjoying it, then it's good, isn't it? It's a good hobby to have.
And you're learning, like, all the little lessons and things to remember that you're learning, they just gradually will become more and more automatic to you. Like, when a problem happens or you get stuck on something, you can't find the information, you go, oh, I remember last time when this happened, I did X, Y, and Z. And so you'll unstick yourself of sticking points better and better as time goes on.
I definitely felt that, like I said, this last week, I knew I was missing something that was stopping me from progressing. I couldn't remember what it was, but it was that free BMD. Now I think that will obviously naturally stay for me, and I'll find, hopefully, bits and bats easier to do with different people as they appear. But I'm trying not to think about that because it seems like a lot right now.
So quickly, shall I just quickly give you an update on my family history, which I think makes me laugh at myself so badly all over again.
Marianne Pickering line.
Yeah, Marianne Pickering. So I wanted to find out about her for years. Started off last May, trying to find out about her. Sidelined it for loads of other little rabbit holes on other little aspects of my family history in the meantime. Got going on her again. Randomly looked at my hints on Ancestry, which I never normally do because I'm normally so snobbish about them, and I want to do it myself. I'm the little red hen. I'm going to do it all by myself. And then there was this reader's name, which I recognised, contacted the person. The reader turned up. I was so excited because it was a family tree reader who'd done one of our DNA courses with us. And so I kind of got to feel like I knew her a little bit. Yes, she was the person on the DNA course. That was very exciting. And it turned out we were sixth cousins, first time removed. So she was on my Ancestry hints list because we had shared family tree connections, but we're not on each other's match list because we're so distantly related. We haven't inherited any of the same segments. So although I met her on a DNA course and we are related, we are genealogically related, we're not genetically related.
Blah. Right.
Whatever. Anyway, that was fun. And so I was asking her questions and I was like, do you know anything about the sampler? Have you heard the story of the poor girl who had to unpick her sewing? And she didn't know anything about that. She's like, cool story though. And but she said, you need to get in touch with Pam. So one of the other people on the course was called Pam, and Pam has no less written a book about the Pickerings. So now I need to track down Pam and the book about the Pickerings. So why it makes me laugh at myself is because one of the first things, and I haven't told you this because I'm so bad at doing it myself, is when you start doing your family history, the advice is, obviously you don't want to be going wholesale copying other people's family trees. And the kind of best practice advice is that there are lots of mistakes in the online trees and you want to do it all yourself. But one of the other pieces of advice is you should look and see what has already been done on your family. So, you know, places your family lived or key surnames in your family, that sort of thing. There's every chance that someone else has already researched them, written a book about them. So me being me, of course, I have never done that, ever looked to see what anyone else has done about my family. So I need to get Pam's book on the Pickerings, and then that would be fascinating.
Yeah.
I still might do my project anyway because I just like to do everything myself and I just find that fun. But I just think it would be great to see what Pam's done.
Yeah, it'd be great to see if that story appears in that.
Yes, so maybe you should do this thing, which I have never done. So I don't even particularly know how to do it. That's how bad I am at it. I would say the Society of Genealogists would be a good place to go and have a look on their website because they will potentially have published family histories that might be relevant. They will have those, but they might have some which are relevant to your family. And then look locally as well. Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Do long tail searches, very precise. See if you can find.
Going by surname then?
Yeah, by surname and place. Yeah. And see if anyone's written a story of the Wards of Pudsey or the Nelsons of Eccles, whatever. Really, really precise.
I think there's actually a book about how we once left Pudsey, who went to Harrogate for the day and came back.
Excellent. Yeah.
Good half an hour. Shocking, shocking behaviour. That's cool, though. So you've been in touch with this woman and had some banter. That's great.
Yes. Really fun. So, and I need to follow up this Pam. Yeah.
I love that. That's fabulous.
I know. It's, yeah.
That's so weird as well that all three of you were present on this.
What? But I think, so there's these, what is it? If you go back 20 generations and if you are, and if you have got a lot of British Isles ancestry, within 20 generations, me and you will be related.
Right, okay.
Me, you and Matt will be related. We'll be related, yeah.
That'd be funny. That would be a good challenge to try and get to.
Yes, it would be. 20 generations is quite a lot, though.
It is, yes. I'm struggling to get past 5 because I'm stuck on my side shoots, whatever.
Yes, yes. But it is weird, out of one course that we did on Family Tree, that 3 of us were related.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I love that. Mm-hmm.
I know, it's cool, isn't it? And also that I mentioned a few minutes ago, that researcher, David Annell, who's a fantastic researcher, then me and him are related as well. It's like, oh, weird. Wow.
Yeah, that is strange.
He's got Orkney ancestors. So obviously, that's a typical, I've got to stop waffling, but quickly. So he's got the Annell surname because he's a man and it's come down his male line. Okay. Mm-hmm. Me, my surname's Tovey. That's even my married name. So doing my family history, blah, 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 blah. Went back a few centuries. I was like, oh, Annell, I've got an Annell. So I started looking, I didn't even think of Dave. Didn't even think about it. Searching away, and then I came across this really useful website that went on and on about the Annals. Somebody who'd done lots of research before on the Annals, it was Dave. And so, yes. So anyway, we haven't worked out precisely how we're related, but we've got Orkney Annals, and it's not a very big place with not very many people in it. We think probably right. 1500s, but I haven't got back that far. Dave's done the research. I just need to build my branch back. Just another thing to do, which I haven't done yet.
Yeah, it's an exciting prospect though, if you know that you're potentially related to somebody distantly.
Yes.
That's a really cool idea.
It is really cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's this lovely researcher called Julie Johnson, and she's done a couple of talks on tracing your family stories and telling your family stories for Family Tree, and she's doing another one in April. Anyway, she sent in an article, and she was mentioning the Carries up in Scotland with the place name she mentioned. I was like, so I just replied, oh, thanks for your article. I've got Carries from this location, which has gone clean out of my head, off the top of my head. And I just thought her article was just a general article. And she replied back and went, well, these are my ancestors. I was like, no way. So it's another, it's such a tiny little village that we are going to be related as well. So I think the more tree building you do, the more it's just, I've even got Yorkshire ancestors, but I think we are going to end up being related.
Cool. We should have a Christmas party, invite all branches.
Yes, yes. So everybody, thank you for listening, if anybody did listen, and we hope you found it useful. We've got lots and lots of things coming up at the moment to help you learn more about your family history, getting better skills and knowledge and kind of ways to troubleshoot your own family history. And one of those in particular is Sophie Kay's course, which she's got coming up. It starts at the end of April, and that's on research skills. So it's to help you search more methodically. Nathan, you're going to have to take this course. It's going to be ideal for you. And she is all about research logs. Yeah, she's queen of research logs. And then we've got other courses also happening end of April. Going into May, one of which is a military history course. Does that sound relevant to you as well?
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Then also we have got a DNA masterclass as well with Michelle Leonard, and that starts on the 1st of May. And does that sound relevant to you?
Yeah, but I'm terrified about that one. But yes.
Yeah. It's all relevant and just super useful courses by real experts who just will transform how well we can all do our family history. I mean, just find out better stuff. Solve problems, get more stories.
Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds like a full-time job, actually.
Yeah, do you see? Yeah.
I'm going to take a month off just to do all this.
Yes, yeah. Oh, take care then. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.